I bring you grace and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, who has loved us and washed us in his blood and has made us kings and priests to God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Dear fellow Christians, death is the ultimate truth. We all must face it. We face it in the emotions we feel when we lose someone close to us, and we face it in the sickness we experience when we go through it ourselves. It's the ultimate truth. We've been trying to get after this in Bible class for many weeks now. We've been studying this issue of our culture and how we talk about truth and God. And we've seen how so many Americans don't really have any idea of one truth that's above all others. It's as if everything's a matter of opinion. But when it comes to this fundamental issue, no one can argue. You can read any philosopher, you can ask any atheist, and they won't disagree that death is real. It's the ultimate truth that we all know about. If you've ever lost someone close to you, then you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to try to prepare for that final moment when you have to say goodbye. I found myself trying to prepare for this moment, but nothing could have prepared me when it came. When I lost, for the first time, someone that was close to me. My grandma Schierenbeck was dear to the family. She was a fine Christian, humble, the nicest person you could ever meet. But there she was on the hospital bed. She was in a coma. And we knew it wasn't going to be much longer. They had unplugged the machines, they'd removed the tubes, and we just stood there and watched as her body, every few moments, would call out for another breath of life. I knew that time had come where I needed to face it. When death strikes, God suddenly matters. God, who maybe was fading into the background for most of our day-to-day life, all of a sudden comes forward and is an issue. You can see it in the pain of young parents who lose a child. You can hear it in the prayers of someone who's getting old. You can feel it in the searching questions of a woman who's come to the tomb for the truth. Mary had come to the tomb for the truth, to say goodbye, to face that final end, but she couldn't say it. There was no body there. Now, she had watched as he hung there. She had stood by as he hung there on the cross, bleeding, suffering. She had listened as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And she had watched as they took down his lifeless body, wrapped it in cloths, carried it away, and put it into a tomb that was sealed with the mark of the Roman government saying, do not remove. She had seen all this take place, but now that she's come, all of a sudden it's all changed. And she's confused. She's come to do what she can to anoint his body and say goodbye, but there's nothing there for her. And she's so distraught that she doesn't even recognize that there's two angels talking to her. And she doesn't even recognize the one that's standing right in front of her and asks her, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? How do you deal with death? How do you prepare for those moments? Is it depression or distraction? Do you go to visit the cemetery or do you stay as far away as you can? How do you face the truth? There was a place in New Orleans where a young artist was trying to help people grasp this reality. And the way that she had done it was to construct a collage on the side of a building. It was a wall covered with people's dying wishes. Amy Chang is a young artist who does this on the side of abandoned buildings. And on this building, she had stenciled and chalkboard paint, "Before I die, I want to." And then people would come up and they would write their dying wishes on that wall. They would come up and they'd write whatever they wanted to do before they died. They'd put it up there and it would all come together in one work of art. All these different ideas about death. Some would write, "I want to straddle the international date line. I want to sail around the world. I want to go skydiving. Before I die, I want to make a difference. I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to see the world become a better place." It was a wall covered with people's dying wishes because the artist wanted people to share their grief, to see dying as a part of living. But as we take a step back as Christians to look at what the world is trying to do here, is that the best we can do? Help people cope? Kind of a therapy of death? Kind of throwing all your thoughts out there about what you want to do before you die? Is that the best? In our daily life, as we find ourselves trying to fill our moments before we die, keeping ourselves distracted or busy with this thing or that, what does it all come down to? The Epicureans were a group that had that kind of idea. They lived at the time of the Apostle Paul, at the time of Jesus, and they were some philosophers who said, there's no resurrection of the dead. There's no life after death. And so their philosophy was, do what you can now. Make the most of your life. Enjoy yourself before that time comes. So the Apostle Paul takes up this question with the Christians in Corinth in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and he writes, you know, they're right. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then there's nothing left for us but to eat and to drink and to enjoy ourselves. There were times in college when I had this basic idea, this basic attitude, that's all there was. The college years are kind of those years you throw away before you actually have to get serious. In our Bible class study, we've seen the interviews of countless young college students who have this basic sense of, okay, this is the time where I eat and drink and celebrate, and at some point in my life, God might become important. But right now, it's really not a part of my day-to-day life. We get lost in the sense that God has no interest, no part to play in our day-to-day lives. And we fill our moments with what's going on TV tonight, how to keep up with Facebook, what's the next scandal in the news. And I can remember those days until all of a sudden I find myself standing there looking at my grandma. And all of a sudden, things mattered that didn't matter before. Watching her reach out for those last few breaths, I knew I had to face something that I maybe hadn't thought about day to day. This is what Mary was facing. When Mary stood there at the tomb, face to face with death, she was confronted with that probing question, "Whom are you seeking?" It's the question of all questions, what has happened to Jesus' body? This is the most important question the world has ever asked. It's why one apologist, Ken Samples, wrote a book, and he called it the most dangerous idea in all religion. That the resurrection is the most dangerous idea, and this is why. Because Our whole faith, our whole reality, our whole relationship with God stands or falls on this truth. Do the dead rise? Where is the body of Jesus? Whom are you seeking? It's a question that everything hinges on. And yet, it's not a question of proof. We have all the evidence we need. The evidence is clear. There is more historically documented evidence for the resurrection of Jesus than for any other event that has taken place at that time in history. There's more writings, more copies, and evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than there are among all the Greek writings of that time, the poems, the epics, Homer, Plato. It outweighs them all. The question is not evidence. The eyewitnesses have told the story about what they saw. The question is it possible? It's like the farmer who sees a giraffe for the first time. The farmer who lived his whole life raising pigs and chickens and cows until all of a sudden his friend takes him to the circus for the first time. And he gets to the circus and his friend says, look, this animal with this long, shows him an animal with a long neck and brown spots and yellow skins and says, look, it's a giraffe. And the farmer stands there and says, there ain't no such animal. It's like the agnostic who needs a sign. I knew an agnostic, know him quite well actually. He was raised a Christian, a Lutheran, confirmed. He went to ILC. And yet now he says he doesn't know if God really exists. And he told me, he said, if God really exists, if the Bible is true, then I need a sign. They want God to perform a miracle to prove himself, and yet when he does, they say that's not possible. We're confronted with the question, whom are you seeking? We've seen what's happened, and yet we look right at it and we say it's just not possible that a person could come back to life after being dead. It's like we're looking at Jesus in our life today, day to day, and we just don't recognize him. That is until he speaks. He must speak in order for us to believe. Until that point, Mary is so lost in the confusion. But then he speaks. Mary, he says. He calls her by name. He calls you by name in your baptism. When he speaks to you through the word, he calls you by name. He calls you as the one that he has sent his son for. Jesus, who knows you by name, knows you better than anyone else in the world knows you. Knows your darkest thoughts, your secret sins, knows everything about you, your doubts, your worries, knows it all on the cross, knows your death on the cross. And there he brings you something new. In his resurrection, he calls you by name so that you become a witness to what he's done. He stands face to face with death, and he speaks the truth, and all of a sudden you are a witness. A witness to take and be a witness in your day-to-day life, at church, at home, in the family, at work. The resurrection makes all the difference. It's why God matters. It's why there's one witness that's different than all the others on the side of that building. Among all the statements that people were throwing out, before I die, I want to do this or that, there was one that was different. One person had gone up there and wrote, I will never die. I have Jesus. A witness that's different than all the other ones. That changes our whole perspective, that echoes down the hallways of hospitals. I was in the hospital there when I had to face it. My grandma was lying on the bed, and we were gathered around the room. There were probably about 10 of us or so. watching her call out for another breath of life until that last breath came and it was over. And yet it was in this moment that the most amazing thing happened. My grandpa stood up. This was his wife. Stood up and said, "I'd like us to sing." And there, face to face with death, we sang a hymn. And it echoed down those hospital hallways, a witness to the resurrection, that God has more to the story, that the beginning with God comes to the beginning without end, and there's more. And so we sang, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise him all creatures here below, praise him above ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Death is the ultimate truth that everyone must face. No one can deny it. And yet hidden in Jesus is a truth that no one can live without. He is risen.